Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu einer weiteren Folge von School Must Go On. Ich spreche heute mit der polnischen Lehrerin Joanna Juszczyk über das Bildungssystem in Polen, die Digitalisierung der Schulen und natürlich über Schule in der Pandemie. In Polen sind die Schulen in 2020 bedeutend länger geschlossen gewesen und das Ministerium für Bildung in Warschau hat Google Meet, Google Classroom, Microsoft Teams und auch Zoom auf die Whitelist gesetzt und Schulen sehr viel Autonomie in der Umsetzung von Homeschooling gegeben. Was dann dazu geführt hat, dass der Großteil der polnischen Schüler in ihrem klassischen Stundenplan zu Hause weiter lernen und live ihre Lehrer Stunde für Stunde in Videokonferenzen sehen. Ein ziemlich großer Unterschied zur Situation in Deutschland, wie ich finde. Ich wünsche euch viel Spaß beim Zuhören. So, hello and welcome to another version of School Must Go On, this time in English, because I'm talking to Joanna Juszczyk, a teacher from Poland. Hello, Joanna.
Hello, hello. Nice to meet you. Nice to hear you. I'm very, very happy to be here with you. And it's a great pleasure, I must say.
Joanna, I hope I pronounced your last name right. It's Juszczyk.
Almost. It's Juszczyk. It's usually, Juszczyk. Yeah, it's very difficult for foreigners to pronounce very often. They have a lot of problems with that.
In Germany, we have a lot of Polish yeah. last names, so we should be able. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us. From what I read about you, you are a very passionate teacher. But why don't you give us the quick intro on your life, where you come from, what you do, and what you love doing?
All right. So I have been a teacher for 18 years, and I am an English teacher. I live in the southern part of Poland in a very small town, Bochnia, which is near Krakow. I think that Krakow is a pretty popular place. I have only 40 kilometers there, so, you know, I always go there just to relax. Not now, because now it's not possible, unfortunately. Now I'm teaching in primary school. However, for 15 years, I was teaching in middle school, so I was working with teenagers. And actually, that was my place. I love that job and I love that place. But unfortunately, a couple of years ago in Poland, the huge education reform and change was introduced. And it made me change my place. Now I'm working with little kids. My youngest students are 10 years old. So it was a huge change for me, pretty stressful one. Not very easy because, you know, the way of working with such kids is totally different. But now I'm getting used to it. Has been 3 years since I started working in primary school, and it's better and better even in that pandemic time. But to be honest, if not the education reform in Poland, I would have never changed my middle school for anything else, any other place, because it was the most fantastic, modern place for me. I absolutely loved going to work. Now, I also do love that, but it's different. Simply, it's different, you know.
Yeah, and I'm doing this podcast so we can gather ideas, but also similar problems to the German education system. And I'm great that I found you and that you agreed to talk with me for the next half hour about how Poland is coping with all the challenges to bring education to the next level. And one thing about Germans, when they look for inspiration, they look to the United States, they look to Denmark, to Finland, but we very often do not talk so much about Poland, which is a gigantic neighboring country right next to us. So I think it would be great for our listeners if you could give us a very quick download on how the Polish education system works.
Okay, I must tell you, before I started, for 10 years, I have been cooperating with schools in Germany, and I used to go for exchange trips with my middle school students to the little town Bad Zazelfurt. So I know a little bit about German system. It was a great adventure. As I said a couple of years ago, because of political changes in Poland, which are huge, we also had like a huge change of the system of education. Previously, for 20 years, we had like a primary school for kids since the age of 7 till, I don't know, 12. Then they went to middle school. In middle school, there were like 3 years, and then high school. Now everything is different because I have this feeling that the system is created this way, that it is the same as I went to school. I went to school, I was a student in 1990s, so pretty long time ago, and now the system is absolutely the same, which means that there is no middle school anymore. And kids start their education at the age of 6, of course, before they go to kindergarten, and then they have got some classes. But in school, they start their lessons at the age of 6, and they spend there like 8 years. So it's a very, very long time. The younger students for the first 3 years, are taught by the same teacher who teaches them like everything, you know, counting, writing, letters, alphabet, reading, and so on. So that it looks like that. And then when kids are more or less at the age of 10, everything changes because they've got like a separate teachers for every single subject, and they have got a new class teacher. It's a huge change for kids. And they are in primary school like till the age of 14-15, spending the 8 years, as I said. And after that, there is exam. I hate exams, as I must tell you, but I have this feeling that right now, like in Polish system of education, exams are the most important and standardized tests all the time. So as far as this exam, they have to take Polish language, generally speaking, Polish history, but it is all together. And then they've got like the mathematics. And they choose language. In my school, it is most often English. Although students also study German, but they do it only for 2 years. So it's too short, you know, to know this language well. And then they decide when they take the exam and they've got the results, which are necessary while going to high school. They can choose the kind of high school they want. I mean, most of the kids, I think, go to high school and it lasts for 4 years. However, we have got also technical schools, like it's 5 years for kids who go there, and vocational schools where kids, I mean, teenagers can learn their jobs, their professions. High school and technical school is at the end of the high school and technical school, they've got their matura exam. It's like A level, something similar like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they also choose subjects. There are some obligatory subjects that they must take, like Polish, mathematics, and language. However, they can choose this matura exam on 2 levels, basic one and extended level. And on extended level, they can choose some extra subjects depending on what university or what other school or college they choose. So it looks absolutely the same as it looked when I was a teenager and when I was a kid. I wouldn't say it's good, because as a teacher working in middle school for 15 years, I saw a huge development of my kids, of my students. I saw how creative they were, how many opportunities they had. And now I have this feeling as a teacher that unfortunately it didn't change for good for kids, especially that I'm a mom and I have got also 2 boys at home. One of them is in the first class of high school and the other is in the sixth grade of primary school. So I also can see a lot of things from the, you know, parents' perspective. So more or less, it looks like that. empowerment.
So if I understand it right, the reform, what it did is, it separates children later in life. So they stay together until they are 14, 15.
Yeah.
And only then they have to decide if they want to go to the technical high school or to the high school that will prepare them more for a college or a university career.
Yeah. It looks like that.
And you say, I mean, one could say that's a good thing. It's a good thing. People are sticking together for longer. And the fast kids are also having some influence on the slower learners, and different talents of kids can be shaped. What's the big con argument here? Why are you not a big fan of keeping kids together for such a long time in elementary school?
You know, it's not the thing that I'm not a big fan, but I was observing how kids developed before in the middle school. And as far as the huge change in Polish system of education, nothing was prepared. Nothing was prepared. Everything was introduced very, very quickly. You know, within 1 year, all the decisions were made by the government. Nobody asked the teachers what we think about that. And classes are huge. For example, in my class, I'm the class teacher of the sixth grade, so they are like 13 years old right now. There are 30 students because primary schools weren't prepared. So in a way that there are even no not enough classrooms, you know. So the groups of kids are really, really huge, and primary schools are really crowded. And I do believe that within some years, you know, a kind of system will be worked out, and it is going to work in a different way. However, right now, I can see that the primary schools, especially in cities and towns, are overcrowded. When I was teaching in middle school, in my class, I had like 20, 25, 26 students. Now I've got 29, 30. So, you know, it's pretty difficult to work with such a huge group. Mm-hmm. As far as language, it's not a problem because I have a division for groups and I always have smaller groups as a language teacher. However, most of my colleagues have to work with such huge groups. And when we talk about kids who grow up and who are teenagers, who are very often rebellious, it's pretty difficult, you know, like to pay attention to every single student. I'm not a great fan of that, because from my point of view as a teacher, as an experienced teacher, the whole reform wasn't prepared. Simply, it was introduced too fast. Definitely.
And the supporters of the reform, what is their goal with changing the sequence of schools and the time of kids staying together?
Most of them say that it's pretty okay. I know parents who are my age, and they remember the times when they used to go to like 8 year long primary school, and all of them say like, hey, but when we were going to school, it looked like that and it was okay. So what's your problem? And I usually say, yeah, but it was 20 years ago. So we compare, you know, like 1980s, 1990s to 2020 or 2021. And times are totally different. But as you know, probably for sure, you know, that when there is a education reform, we need a lot of years to get used to it. And we need like at least 10 years for that to work in a proper way. So I'm waiting. It has been like 4 years now. I have been teaching here for 3 years. Maybe within future and, you know, within next couple of years, it's going to be better. Yeah, so yeah, that's what I think.
And from your from you saying that the class size increased pretty much, I guess there's also a teacher shortage in Poland, just like we have in Germany, that there's just not enough teachers. There's so many students and the class size is growing and growing year after year.
Yeah, and that's what we were talking about with my friends a couple of weeks ago. There are no young teachers in a way that you know, when I started my job long time ago, I remember that there were some young people after their studies who just came to school and they wanted to be a teachers. Now I am one of the youngest and I'm almost 40. So young people don't want to work in school that much anymore. So it's pretty, pretty difficult because the average age of the teachers in Poland is more or less, I'm not sure, but more or less about 50, 55. So the question is, what is going to happen in 10, 15 years, you know? So I do believe that it's a huge problem. And
It rings a bell. Yeah, it definitely rings a bell. We have the same situation in Germany too, a very close to retirement, old group of teachers making up the majority of teachers right now. Even though, for example, basic factors like the salary in Germany is seriously high. It's a very, very well-paid job. I don't know how it is in Poland, the teacher salary compared to the average.
No, unfortunately, it's not a very well-paid job and it's a huge problem because the beginning teacher gets very low money, small money, and that's why most of young people don't decide to be teachers. You need a lot of years to get better money. But still, being a teacher is not like having a lot of money. It's not the same. Unfortunately, teachers in Poland don't earn a lot and the job is not well paid. I would say that within the last few years is a little bit better. But it's not like that you can afford a lot of things when you are just a teacher. So it's pretty, pretty difficult. There was a huge strike of Polish teachers, I don't know, 2 years and a half ago, I was taking part in it. We were fighting for more respect and we were trying to fight for some pay rise. But you know, actually the government didn't listen to us and it still looks like that. So it's not like that being a teacher is a well-paid job. Unfortunately, in my country, it doesn't look like that. And what is more, I have this feeling that teacher is not so respected job anymore. So, you know, it's pretty difficult. Yeah.
And over the 18 years you've been teaching, have you seen the role of the teacher change a lot, or the workload of a teacher also change a lot?
Yeah, I think so. I do believe that it changed a lot and it's something totally different. I mean, as teachers right now, we have to do a lot of different things that we didn't have to do like 15 years ago. I mean, especially paperwork, which I hate, to be honest. So there's a huge amount of paperwork. And the role of teacher changed also in that way that it's sometimes pretty difficult to communicate with the society because, as you know, the society keeps also changing all the time. So sometimes parents believe that they are always right. So it's pretty difficult to communicate. I don't have this problem because I must tell you that I have got wonderful parents in my class. We are like one team and I love them absolutely. But when I listen to my friends, they've got this problem. I have this feeling that in the past, like 15 years ago, there weren't so many problems with communication, with parents, with kids, with students, with the system generally speaking. And now as a teacher, you have to struggle with a lot of things. And very often you have to do it on your own because the system, to be honest, doesn't help you very much. I'm the teacher and I love my job. I love my kids and I really like being in the classroom. That's my favorite place, I would say. But I don't like the system. I don't feel supported by it at all.
You mentioned earlier that standardized testing has become a big thing, and there's countries like the States as well who have built an educational system for decades on standardized tests. Can you shine a little bit light on how standardized testing works in Poland?
Well, generally, I would say that in Polish school, it's very important to give kids grades, you know, marks. And kids are tested regularly on every single subject. And I am supposed to do it as a teacher. And then they have to take their exams. Now they take, as I said before, their exams at the age of 15, and then when they finish, they graduate from the high school. But testing seems to be the main part of teaching process. And I also think that it's just a problem because teachers also do not imagine teaching kids without giving them the tests. I remember some times ago, I was watching a short video about Finnish system of education, which, as we know, there are no standardized tests, and I'm absolutely fascinated with that. And I must tell you that I keep trying to work this way so that my students don't have to write tests all the time. But it's not that easy. It's not that easy because everybody expects me to organize tests for my students on a regular basis. And when I have my kids in primary school, for example, right now I'm teaching also like kids from the 7th or 8th grade, what I do, I prepare them for standardized tests for their final exam. That's absolutely terrible because I have no time as an English teacher to have a lot of like conversations with them, to talk to them, to do some extra projects. What I have to do, I have to work with them to prepare them for tests. And that's what I totally don't agree with, because they don't need, I do believe that they don't need this, you know, this skill in their life. As far as, for example, my subject, they must be communicative, they must speak English, read, they should be, you know, they should use the language, not necessarily write the proper forms in the test. So more or less, it looks like that. However, which is good, there are more and more teachers, I know some, who really try to fight with that and try to teach in a little bit different way, try to organize projects, more projects, more cooperation among students, and so on. So that there is a huge hope. I love those people because they are really creative and want to do something extra. And, you know, and I think that very often it's much more important for a kid just to be happy in their life rather than, you know, to write a test, definitely. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And these tests, to what degree are they standardized? Can you come up with the questions yourself, or is there a government agency, maybe even in Warsaw, telling everyone, every teacher, these questions should be part of the standardized tests, so there is comparability from north to south, from east to west Poland, and all kids are practically ranked within one test system?
When we talk about the final exams, they are totally standardized in this way that they are totally prepared by special people somewhere in Warsaw, Krakow, big cities, and this is this way that they are the same for the whole country. So then we have got like a huge comparison between schools, between, I don't know, cities, towns, and so on. And we are always obliged as teachers to analyze the statistics. So I have this feeling that, you know, my students are numbers, not people, when I look at those statistics, because nobody takes into consideration the other aspects, you know, of being a student or the problems of students and so on. So yeah, these tests are absolutely standardized as we are talking about the final exams. When we talk about the tests themselves during the classes, these are teachers who may decide about them. However, everything must be done according to the curriculum. And we've got one curriculum for the whole country. So there is one curriculum for primary school for every single subject, and the same is in high school. So what I have to do, so for example, English teacher, I always have to use the topics from the curriculum, because then, for example, when there is a control or something like that, you know, they always check, you know, what I did. So we must always take curriculum into account, definitely.
Now let's touch on the subject of digitization. How digital are Polish schools today?
Yes, I'd like them to be more digital. That's my dream, because the school I worked before, I worked in before, was totally digital. We had a great equipment. Right now, it's a little bit worse. I have the feeling that primary schools are not greatly prepared. Still, there are a lot of things to do. However, it's better and better within every single year. So, yeah, we have got computers, we have got projectors, access to the internet. Actually, which it doesn't always work, but it's not that bad. But I have this feeling that still there are a lot of things to be done, and schools are not perfectly prepared, like, for example, for what is happening right now and the fact that we need to teach online and must be online, you know. But I'd say that it's not bad.
Do you, as a teacher, have your own work email address, for example? That's your official email address as a teacher, not your private one. Is something like this provided by the government?
Well, right now I have it, because we are using the platforms and websites to teach online. So I must tell you that I have my official school email address since October, I think so. Before, I was using my private email address always. Yeah, actually, yeah, it looks like that. And even during the pandemic time, last year, I mean, in spring, I created my own email address, but I did it on my own by myself. It wasn't given to me. It changed now a little bit because we use like Google Classroom and Google Meet and so on. So we've got our official email addresses. Yeah.
What? That would be my next question. What kind of tools are commonly used? You said Google Classroom, Google Meet. Are there other tools you're using in Poland at the moment?
Yeah, well, it depends most often on towns and cities. But I would say that Google is the most popular thing which is used. Some schools use Microsoft Teams. I think especially high schools. And these are the most popular. I'm also a teacher in private language school, but I know that's something different. I use Zoom over there. And in spring, when we were closed, you know, as schools, to be honest, we had to organize everything by ourselves because nothing was prepared. So in spring, I used Zoom on my own, but it was like my decision. I did it by myself again. It wasn't given to me by the government. Some changes were introduced in autumn. So I would say that Google is the most popular right now, yeah.
And also the Chromebooks for students, yeah, and for teachers, yeah, to work with, yeah, as hardware?
Yeah, also, yeah.
So in Germany, the interesting phenomenon is that practically no one is using Google Classroom.
Yeah.
And, I think it has a lot of to do with the perception of the company Google or Alphabet, and the fear that student data isn't safe. This also counts for Zoom, actually. And also Microsoft Teams is always, it's a big controversy. How is that discussion being held in Poland?
To be honest, nobody discussed with us as teachers. I'm also not a great fan of those websites and devices, because we know what is happening in Google right now and so on. It could be the topic for a totally different conversation. But nobody discussed with us. The government gave a list of the things, of the websites we're supposed to use, and that's all. You know, so nobody asked me as a teacher, for example, nobody asked me if I wanted or not. Nobody asked parents. Parents were given the papers to sign, but actually they had no choice because, you know, if there was the only way that students can take part in the lessons, they had to. I'm not a fan of Google Classroom and I don't like Google Meet, Meets, to be honest. A little bit, I do prefer Zoom, but again, it's also controversial. But, you know, as far as the internet is concerned, most of the stuff is a little bit controversial, and we must be very, very careful while using that. The problem is that students and kids sometimes don't realize that at all. So a lot of things happen. And that's the danger of pandemic times, that, you know, kids get addicted to the computers, get addicted to the internet. They spend most of their times in front of the computers, which is absolutely terrible. In Poland, it is like that, that they have been closed at home for a very long time. Now we are having like a winter break. But we spend this winter break at home because there is no other possibility. All the places are closed, so kids are staying at home like 24 hours a day in front of the computer. So, you know, the danger of using the internet is absolutely terrible. Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of, actually.
I think a lot of German teachers are actually envying you because you can freely use Zoom and Google and Microsoft, even though there might be another solution coming up after the pandemic. It's a fast and pragmatic decision also by the government to actually whitelist these tools and make you use them and allow you to use them when self-made systems, do-it-yourself systems or open source versions have been, you know, going offline and haven't been able to cope with all the traffic that the students and the teachers create, which was a big problem also in the last couple of days. We're now recording this in the middle of January, and the beginning of the year in Germany again was actually a big challenge for self-created systems like the learning management system for the city of Berlin. One thing I find also interesting is that Poland is very much federally organized. So the central government in Warsaw is practically able to tell the whole country what to do in terms of curriculum and tools. Is that right? Or is there a lot of local authority as well?
No, it's just, you know, we've got the Minister of Education and his workers, I would call them this way, and they decide about everything. So there is one curriculum created for the whole country. That's absolutely true. What we can do as teachers, we may feel free to choose the textbooks, workbooks and materials we teach from. However, again, they must be created in a way that the curriculum is okay. So, that's true that it is pretty well organized this way. It's local governments have nothing to do with things like curriculum and the things we are supposed to teach. Local governments are more responsible for organizing the things like buildings, buying computers, I don't know, paying money for some kind of renovations of buildings and these organizational things. But as far as the curriculum and the exams, the final exams, it's like, yeah, it's everything is decided by the Ministry of Education. And there are special commissions in one. There is one, the main one, that is responsible always for preparing the final exams, all the final exams in cooperation with the Ministry of Education. So the exams are always the same for the whole country. For example, when students take their, the final exam in Polish, in Polish language, it's the same for everybody in the country. It always looks like that. And it has always been looked like that before also.
And how about the teacher training or the professional development of teachers? How do you work when you want to improve your teaching, or you and your colleagues want to learn a new teaching method? How do you approach that?
Well, we have got like a teachers meetings at school, and twice or three times a year, usually there are some workshops organized for everybody at school. However, when you are a teacher and you want to develop yourself or you want to learn something extra, you may take the courses you want, of course. There is always some money spent on that by the school. But to be honest, recently it has been very little money. So it's not always easy when you want to do something extra, something totally different and expensive. But there are a lot of workshops organized, a lot of conferences, a lot of, stuff like that. And I must tell you, I must boast about it a little bit, because next month I'm going to be the speaker on one of such workshops for English teachers. There are possibilities, of them, but it's not always easy for the financial issue doesn't always allow you to take part in every single course, because there is a amount of money for each school that may be spent on courses, and it's not like that it is for everybody, sometimes. Mm-hmm. Pretty difficult.
You mentioned textbooks earlier, and now we are living in this hybrid world, multi-hybrid. We are living in a world where there's digital content, and there's also the old printed textbook content. How do you see this world develop for the past couple of years and during the next couple of years? Are textbooks going to vanish? Is everything going to happen in the computer, in the browser, maybe in Google Classroom and other tools?
I hope it's not going to disappear and vanish, because I love the paper books, and not everything may be done by the computer. I do believe that. However, it has changed a lot, because I remember a couple of years ago, we didn't have those book versions on computer. Now, every single textbook can be found online and used on our online lessons, which is much easier. Of course, it makes our job easier, especially right now. How it is going to look like in the future, I hope that we will be still able to work in like a traditional form with traditional textbook. I do believe that like a computer, internet, and all of those platforms, websites, and so on may be really, really helpful and useful. But I don't want them to replace some traditional analog methods, because computer cannot be the center of the kid or student's life. Also, although I really love my computer and I really like the internet, and I do a lot of things there, and I have been teaching online and so on, I do believe that the traditional methods and the traditional contact and the traditional book, all of those things are really, really okay when we think about social development of kids, psychological development, and so on. So I hope it's not going to happen that one day everything will be replaced by tablets or iPads or whatever.
Do you believe that the standardized testing will go digital soon?
In my country, I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't know why, but I don't see it this way. No, I don't think so. It would be, I don't know why, but it came to my mind that it would be too complicated. I don't know why. I have never been thinking about it, you know, so that's a good question. I think so, to think about it and to talk to people about it. It's pretty difficult to answer that, to be honest.
What about the support system, the academic support system outside of the classroom? In Germany, we have a pretty big tutoring scene. There's the neighbors' kids helping other kids to learn math or English. You can also sign your child up for a summer course, or you can also go to professional tutoring schools. There's two big chains that are called Studienkreis and Schülerhilfe. Each of them own 1,000 tutoring studios scattered across Germany. So they're practically in every middle-sized town, and they're also, of course, in big towns. Roughly 1 out of 3 students in Germany are going to some sort of tutoring school once in their school time. Is it similar in Poland?
But by tutoring school, you mean like a public institution or the private one?
A private one.
Okay.
Mostly it's private here.
Yeah, so as far as the private institutions, yeah, there are a lot of them. And a lot of students take like extra private lessons with some subjects, the most difficult ones. Most of kids go to lessons of the language, to private language schools and so on. As far as the public support, I don't know what is coming to my mind now. Well, we try to organize help for the kids who are in a huge need, and they like acquire some help in the learning process. And it is possible for some subjects, not all of them, but yeah, it can be organized. However, sometimes it's pretty difficult, again, for financial reasons. But we do it. But as far as the private institutions like that, I would say that it's comparable to Germany, maybe. Maybe not to such a huge extent, that 1 per 3, you say 1 out of 3 students, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I haven't read any statistics, but when I think about my class now, for example, yeah, maybe it's comparable to Germany, but still, these are private institutions.
Yeah. And and are there also private schools in Poland, like real private schools where parents pay and then from morning to afternoon kids are taught in a private school, or is everything practically state run?
No. There are private schools, especially in big cities. Like in my town, there used to be a private school, but you know, in small town, it's pretty difficult because people cannot afford it. So it's not that easy. But in big cities, yes, there are normally private schools, private primary schools, high schools, and it is possible to go there. But most of kids, definitely, I would say that definitely most of kids go to the public state schools, traditional ones. And for example, in villages, you will not find a private school, I think so. You would have to go to big cities like Krakow, Warsaw, I don't know, any other city. Yeah, but it is possible to have them in my country, yeah.
And how about the corona situation? How is Poland's education system coping with the current school lockdowns? Do you already know how long your schools will be locked down this winter?
We are waiting for the decision, which is going to be announced today, tomorrow, maybe. Well, you know, we were closed in March and we were teaching online the whole semester. And then we came back to school in a traditional way in September, but we were closed, I think, on the 24th of October. and we teach online every single day. I teach from my living room in my house. So I open my computer, my equipment, and I start every single day at 8 o'clock to meet my students. Now it's much better because as we were talking about this classroom, email address and so on, it is prepared. So it's much easier because the spring was like a huge surprise for everybody. Nobody expected that. So it was very difficult. And it very often looked like that we had to cope with a lot of problems on our own. And the organization didn't work. Now it's pretty okay. I have no idea how long we are going to stay at homes. I'm afraid that it's gonna be longer than we wish, that we would like to, because, you know, January, February, March are usually the months when a lot of kids get the traditional flu, I would say, or cold. So it's, but we have no decision yet. Maybe, but again, we don't know it. The youngest kids will be allowed to come back to school, but still, we are waiting for the final decision.
Wow, it's quite a big difference between Germany and Poland. We've just been locked down in the schools in March and April, but in May, kids already went back to school, and we kept schools open all the way until the beginning of December, and tried to keep schools open also for a long time in September, October, and November, which a lot of people are now criticizing. But I see that you've been much more used now to teaching online from home. What's your method? Do you do a lot of live teaching? Do you do a lot of Google Meet conferences with your students?
I do only live teaching. So I meet my students according to my traditional timetable. I mean, the timetable I used to in a traditional way. So I do only meetings. Of course, I don't make my students switch on their cameras always. But I want to hear them and listen to them. We have a contact like every single day. We even with my class had some online parties, like Santa Claus was coming, so we organized Santa Claus online. We had like a Christmas party online with my wonderful parents from my wonderful class. They organized everything. It was absolutely new experience, but it was lovely because as I observe, kids really need the contact. They really miss contact with the other kids. And the results of the fact that they have been closed for such a long time will be visible for many, many years as far as their, you know, like psychological development. Some kids don't cope that well with the whole situation. So they close, they get depressed. It's very difficult for them to study and learn. That's why I do believe that it is so important for me to see them every single day. But in some schools, in most of schools, it looks like that teachers connect with students online and they see each other. But sometimes we also, I mean, I don't do it, but some of my colleagues send the material, send the stuff like, hey, read that or do it on your own and so on, which from my perspective, it's not always okay because there are kids who need help and who need explanation, and they will not be able to do the stuff on their own without any help.
Wow, it sounds to me like Polish teachers are much more betting on live teaching through Google Meet and Zoom than German teachers, because there was a study that showed that in the spring lockdown, less than 10% of all German students had a daily video call with one of
their teachers. Well, when we talk about the spring lockdown, it looked similar in Poland. I met my students online every day, and some of the other teachers also, but a lot of teachers were sending, you know, the text, homework, and so on. However, in autumn, everything changed here, so it's not like that anymore. But in spring, yeah, it was the same.
So you would say that during the summer, the government did a good job trying to make every school, every teacher, every student be able to learn online?
Well, I'm not sure if it was a government or rather principals and headmasters of the school, because the Minister of Education and the government said, okay, so schools organize yourselves. It really was like that. So I know that my boss, she had a huge job to do to prepare everything, to organize school in a way that we have access to everything and everything is, you know, prepared. And it was really stressful. Like September and October was really stressful for us, because in September I wasn't able to use Google Classroom. I know nothing about that. But we had a meeting, we learned that. And now I can see that even as a mother, I can see that the teachers are sending things to my kids. And my kids, my sons, also have online lessons in a way that they see their teachers every single day. So I would say that it's not bad now. It was bad in spring, definitely. Nothing was prepared. Now it's much better.
It sounds like the key to success here is school autonomy. Yeah. For the government to say in times like these, I'm not gonna tell you not to use Google Teams. I'm not gonna tell you not to use Zoom. Be pragmatic. Use these tools. Organize yourselves. I'm not gonna put any stones in your way. I'm not gonna put any obstacles in your way. Just be pragmatic at these times, so the colleagues in the school and the principal can see what fits them.
Yeah, on the one hand, absolutely, you are right. On the other hand, the whole responsibility for everything that is going to happen was like put on the principals, you know, or on the teachers, because the government actually didn't take responsibility in that way, that they prepared something and they told us, okay, we did something for you. We prepared that system. Do it. Use it. It was given the autonomy to schools. You are absolutely right. But it was also putting the whole responsibility to the principals. So it wasn't easy for them, like August, September, because they had to look for solutions, the best ones. They were responsible for teaching us, the teachers, I mean, how to work, what to do, and so on. But now I think that it works, although everybody is very tired because, you know, we've been this online teaching like all days. Yeah, I would say that in my school it works right now.
Wow. So now fast forward, let's hope this is like the last lockdown we are in right now. In the near future, when things are normal again, what would be the wishes that Polish teachers have for the system to change, for the government to implement?
We would like, as teachers, I would like the government to treat us with respect and respect us and listen to us. And sometimes I'd like the government to think more about people and more about kids rather than numbers and statistics, because these are not the most important. I would like our government not to leave us alone in a way that a lot of things are not prepared generally, and we are responsible for organizing things. It would be also lovely when everything is over, the government, I know I've got a lot of wishes, the government spend more money on schools because they really need them, and they must be better prepared for the future. Classes must be smaller, and it's really, really needed, because, you know, a system of education is very, very important. We create the future generations, and I'd like the government to pay attention to this fact, because they completely don't think about that. But, you know, it's a political stuff, so maybe let's leave it.
Johanna, thank you so much for these very insightful minutes here in the podcast. I learned so much, and I'm sure our listeners too. Are you going to have a normal school day today?
No, I have a winter break today, so I'm going to rest and relax reading some books.
Fantastic. I wish you a lot of fun with that. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was just a great time to be here.